Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're on UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Pam Rhea on the line with me. Pam Rhea, say hello and introduce yourself.
Hi, I am so glad to meet all of you out there. I am Pam Rhea, and I'm here to tell you about the important work I'm doing.
Well, let us know, Pam. Let us know, Pam Rhea, what's going on with you?
Well, I intend to be a game changer. I am a paladin, and for those of you who don't know what a paladin is, it's one of the mightiest of warriors. It's a special class. And I am a paladin in the war to end addictions.
Amen.
In our community.
Amen. We need that. We need that. What have you been doing thus far?
Well, thus far, our main plan of attack is to increase community awareness. I've written a play called Angels Without Wings. It's my concept of God working through people. They don't have wings because they're everyday people. And it's a story of how people come into your life with a mixed impact.
Mm.
And some of those people, they take you to a tragic place, but they're not angels then. But the angels without wings help to lift you out of the chaos, and they lift you to heights you never, ever dreamed of.
Right.
It's a play about all kinds of addictions in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
It makes this play different than the usual ones you see about somebody checking into treatment and meeting somebody and then going off into recovery land, because that doesn't usually happen like that.
Right.
It's about the underlying behavior that leads to the addiction.
Right.
And how that behavior gets started.
Wow.
That's Nigeria.
Yeah, that's powerful. It's necessary for us to get to the root of the problem to be able to solve the problem. I mean, when you're just kind of surfacing or trying to keep giving aspirin for what you think is a headache, but really it's a brain tumor, you got death on the line, you know?
Yes, we lost a young girl a few months ago in King, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And she was only 20 years old, and she died from an opioid overdose.
Wow. And, you know, it's important because sometimes we can hear these stories and we think it's too far-fetched until it hits home or it's one of our family members. And even though, like, now, you know, it was the war on drugs, and now they're promoting treatment. And it's like, well, we should have been doing that when we had the crack epidemic, you know. And sometimes it's like it's not until it hit a certain community that now it becomes important.
It's true. And we also have new substances that are hitting the street that are even more deadly than opioids.
Right.
And people don't even know they exist.
Right.
And some of them are not legally considered drugs.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Their hands are tied. Yeah, there's a substance out called K2. It's also known as Spies and Scooby Snacks. And legalized marijuana.
Oh, that's good.
It's okay to smoke it.
Wow.
They think it's okay to smoke it, but it's not, because it's not even marijuana. What it is, it's a potpourri, which is a shredded plant that's been chemically treated. And because it's smoked like marijuana, it's a direct pathway to the brain.
What?
And yes, it's a direct pathway. And what's so bad is the teenagers
mm-hmm.
are being coached into smoking this stuff, because if we all remember back in the day when the worst thing we could do was to sneak a cigarette, we were about 8 and 9 years
yes,
old.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And that's the age that they are preying
wow.
on youngsters now.
My God.
And
my
what
God.
This substance does is it upsets the serotonin levels in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it also releases dopamine into the system
mm-hmm.
through the brain's neurotransmitters. And that's the feeling of euphoria, mm-hmm. feeling like they're high.
Right.
But it makes the brain's blood vessels swell. And they can erupt into an aneurysm. And you have an unheard number of teenagers checking into hospitals with strokes.
My goodness. Whew. Wow. That's That's
it's
crazy.
Chilling just to think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here like, oh my goodness, how valuable and important this message is to get across. And, you know, I'm glad you're using every venue of your voice and your, you know, allowing us to be one of your media outlets, and also, you know, to definitely explain through your powerful play. What's the name of the play again?
Angels Without Wings.
Okay. Do you have a website or, you know, a place where people can
I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page.
Okay. It's underneath your name, Pam Rhea?
Yeah, that's my personal page. If someone connects with me, I can send them an invite to the fan page, which is also Angels Without Wings.
Okay, so
they have two ways to contact me.
Okay, it's okay to use two ways, or you just want to direct them to the fan page?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's all good.
Okay,
if
amen.
It all leads to the same place.
Right.
Helping save lives.
Yeah. How did you become so passionate about this?
Well, my background is that I was a manager and had a 20-year career with the Superior Court of New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
So I worked in all divisions. Mm-hmm. I worked with criminal. I saw drug-driven crimes creating havoc.
Wow.
And so with my thinking, I wanted to make a difference, and I took an opportunity to take a promotion in the family division because mm-hmm. I thought that I could catch them at the front end before they got into the justice system and keep as many as I could from going there.
Right, right.
And I also did a lot of planning with different activities within the judiciary. I was one of the developers and implemented one of the very first drug court programs in this country.
Mm. Wow. Well, we need more of you. We need more of you in various communities doing what you're doing. So I'm asking all my listeners, we got a real key player here, Pam Rhea. Reach out to her. The play is Angels Without Wings. The fan page is on Facebook. Just type it. Find her. Connect with her. If you're in another city, you know, one of the things is it's everywhere. So we really do have to connect. This is a good opportunity to use social media to reach out to another sister who's really serious about helping her community. So, Pam,
yes,
man.
Can wow. come back from this.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Nigeria, a wonderful lady, Nancy Reagan, over 30 years ago, said very simply, just say no.
Right.
And her campaign started that war. But now, what I can understand, we can, at all levels, with any threat to our country, respond with equal force. So why don't we stop this? And that's with the community. It's on us. I'd like to tell you about the storyline of the play, because that's very different.
Okay, go ahead.
It's an addict.
Okay, go ahead.
And when I say an addict, I mean anything that causes you to give up your personal power. It could be alcohol. It could be unhealthy relationships. It could be some type of drugs. It could be overeating. Anything that causes you to give up your power and fall into a chaos. And the addict enters into recovery through a 12-step program. But the steps are portrayed as people. They're brothers and half-sisters. And they all have different mothers. And they all have the same father. And the inference is God. And they are called the step family. And they help the addict to meet each one of the step family one by one. Mm-hmm. And their names represent the 12 steps of recovery, the spiritual attributes.
Wow.
You know, the first one is self-honesty. And what's so special about self-honesty, she's the only member of the step family that can chase away the disease, which is the addiction personified. And there's a reason for that, because in order to enter recovery, you have to become abstinent. And the title characters, the angels without wings, they have names like church, meeting, sponsorship, and prayer. And they rescue the addict each time the disease shows up in the play and helps the disease get back on point with recovery. And the addict is given early on in the play a toolbox, and that toolbox contains coping skills and other items that are introduced by the step family. And the addict doesn't like it at first. The addict says that the box is ugly. And that's the way that people feel when they're in a situation where they're partly in denial. They want help, but they're in denial. They think that asking for help makes them weak, but it's actually a sign of strength. And you can't tell help how to help. You just have to gain acceptance. And one of the main things that helps us, or should I say, hurts us from gaining acceptance and moving through our lives in a healthy manner is fear. Fear is a very powerful negative weapon. But I always encourage people to remember that fear is nothing but false evidence appearing real.
Exactly. It has no power. Exactly. Ooh. Well, this was one of these real, real interviews, which people have to now examine themselves and see, you know, how they're adding to contributing to solving this problem, which eventually, if we don't step in and do something, it will be an epidemic.
It certainly will. And, oh, I also do the play in Spanish, too. Andalus en Ala. You know, Nigeria, okay. I believe that although addictions are universal, that the way that you enter into an addiction is cultural. Nobody ever gave you something unhealthy for you unless it was somebody that you know. You wouldn't trust them enough to take it. So that's why.
That's so powerful. I'm sitting here with my mouth open because that's real. How many kids got addicted because they mama or they daddy or cousin did it? Jesus.
Yes. Woo! Yes. And that also brings up an acronym that I use called SEE, which is a self-image extinction event.
Mm.
People become broken by those things, and sometimes it's catastrophic.
That's right.
It happens all at once. And sometimes it happens a little bit at a time, just eating away that self-image until you have the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Jesus. Whoa.
And it also can come from things that are environmentally inherited, passed down from generation to generation. Without a resolution.
Right. Yeah, that's what we talk about, breaking the chain and, you know, trying to reverse the trend.
Exactly.
Amazing.
And you always have to be careful not to exchange a different behavior for the one that you've been used to. They call it in recovery being comfortable in familiar pain.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. And we talk about the disease. Now we'll get to the disease. I love this part because a lot of people don't understand what an addiction is. It's not something that's a social maladjustment,
right,
or something that's a financial embarrassment. The disease's agenda is the stealer of life.
My God.
And that's all it is.
Phew.
I have a song that I wrote called Come Out to Play. I'm not going to sing right now.
Right.
But I'd like to share the words with your listeners, and if you don't mind.
We don't mind.
Okay. I am the disease. Here's what I say. I live a life of ease. Stay out of my way. Here's my main squeeze. They call her White Lady. She's just such a tease. She'll drive you crazy. Take a chance and roll the dice. Stupid fool fooled you once, fooled you twice. Come out to play, or perhaps you hang out with me and I'll make you relapse. Come out to play for a little while. You'll die tonight, but lose your life in high style. Come out to play. You won't care. Just for today, I'll take you there. Alcohol, have a sip. Just for today is such a little slip. You want to lose hope, just take some drugs. Why do you think that they call it dope? Cigarettes, have a smoke, overeat. I'll laugh while you choke. Codependency, you will choose and do more for them than they do for you.
Wow.
Hey, I got you in my sights. Stupid fool, fooled you once, fooled you twice. Come down to the hood, if you dare. He's down in the hood. I'm always there.
Wow.
You won't work. They'll call you lazy. Spin like a top. They'll think you're crazy. Your brain, you think you enhance. Hey, white lady, let's see you dance. She'll reel you in. So nice. Stupid fool. Fooled you once. Fooled you twice. 12 by 8. I'll put you in. They call it jail. 12 by 8. That's the devil's den. You think you were cool when you used. You think I'm your friend. Till the end. Hey, home. Bring me your ear. No need to roam. Cause the end is near and now it's time. Pay the price. Stupid fool. Fooled you once. Fooled you twice.
Well, Pam Rhea, I need a drink of water. To just sit back and soak all this in. I mean, I love interviews where I just get educated and learn a little more about things. And, you know, I cannot say I am not aware. When I grew up, the biggest drugs was heroin and angel dust. So that tells my age. But, you know, and it was so traumatizing to me as a kid. I just never indulged. I just never was like, oh, no, I'm never doing that, you know. So I hope that, you know, we can really get a drop on this. You know, when we put our minds to it, we can do anything. So I'm sure as we just come together and band together to protect our family. Because, listen, you may not have anybody on drugs in your family, but doesn't mean that someone on drugs won't harm someone in your family. So it affects everybody, period.
Everybody with skin.
That's right. Everybody. Every ethnic group. Everybody. Everybody. And, you know, just FYI for the media, it's not just African Americans. It's just everybody. Everybody.
Well, the statistics, I pulled the statistics day before yesterday. Now, across the country, more Caucasian users are dying from opioid overdose, prescription pills.
Right.
Than black.
Right, right. And that you know, that's just, you know, unfortunate, you know. I'm always concerned about everybody. You know, I get upset because I feel they make African Americans the poster children for everything. We're the gangs, we carry the guns, we rob and steal, we're lazy, we're on drugs, we're the worst. Meanwhile, you know, as I always say, when you don't address it with one ethnic group, guess what? Sin is progressive. It's only going to hit the other ethnic groups. And although you may not want to talk about it on the news, we see it. We see it. You know, here in New York, Long Island is being hit. That K2 got those people up there just going crazy. So it's really everywhere, and we really need to be mindful and address it as an urgency. You know, because they are it's just like drunk drivers. It's just like DUIs. I mean, it's everywhere. It's everything.
That is so true. And the drunk driving, another thing that they're just beginning to address is the danger of fetal alcohol. Babies are coming out deformed. And it doesn't take a lot of liquor.
Yep, yep.
In New York, I'm glad to see that they are moving forward with their actions with K2, that they want to have it identified as a controlled dangerous substance, because it's not right now.
Right, right.
That's why nothing can be done. They made people, or should I say, business owners that were selling it, they made them surrender their inventory.
Mm.
And I know in Newark, New Jersey, and Orange, New Jersey, they had to surrender that inventory almost 4 years ago.
Wow. So this is not even new. As they say, it's nothing new underneath the sun. It's just a different generation, different time, different age.
Exactly. Well, actually, there is something new.
Okay.
In Miami-Dade, they just had a raid.
Okay.
And they confiscated candy. Okay. Candy that was chemically treated.
What?
And making kids high. Yeah. It was on the news, I want to say, about 10 days ago.
In Miami?
Yeah. Miami-Dade Sheriff's Department, if I'm not mistaken, because Miami, it's like the whole county is considered Miami. I used to live there.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter. If you write somebody's address and you put Miami, Florida on there, it'll get there.
Right, right, right.
It doesn't matter whether it's Opa-locka or Carroll City or anything.
Okay, okay. Wow, wow.
I think the work that you are doing is really wonderful, Nigeria.
Why, thank you.
Become aware.
Yeah, you know, that's my assignment. That's what the Lord gave me to do. I'm
your
blessed.
World changed.
I'm blessed to even, you know, come into contact with people like you who are doing valuable work. It's my honor to share the news.
And together we will all make a difference.
And that's the goal. That's the goal.
And maybe there'll be something else that will be affecting kids, but maybe we can get rid of this one.
Right. One fight at a time. And as long as we got, as long as we keep creating soldiers and fighters to fight the good fight, you know, we'll be all right, you know.
And you know, Nigeria, I didn't know for a long time the effect that my words had on people, because my play opened almost 10 years ago off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I performed it in the tri-state area. And then one day, after the show, I would always go and talk to my audience. If they had any questions, I'd try and answer their questions.
Mm-hmm.
And this man came rushing up to me. And he was a big guy. He was 6'5". Now, I'm a tall woman. I'm 5'10", but I had to look up to him.
Right.
And what really scared me, because first of all, I didn't know if he was going to try and hit me or what he was going to do. But he was crying.
Wow.
He was sobbing. And you don't see men do that in public. And so I just stood there and looked at him, and he said to me, "How did you know how I was hurting?
Wow.
How did you know what I was feeling?" And so I couldn't think of anything else to say. I said, "Well, my name is Pam Rhea, and I've got a very chicken higher power." And he said, "I've tried so many times, and each time I fail." But then I knew he was talking about some kind of addiction. So
mm-hmm.
I said, "Well,
mm-hmm.
I want you to do something. I want you to try one more time, because I believe that this time you're going to succeed. And every morning when you get up, before your feet hit the floor, I want you to remember that wherever Pam Rhea is, that she knows you can do this."
Amen.
And so you don't need for me to say that. I said, "And you're going to tell me that you don't need for me to say that. And I'm not going to tell you how to find me, because I believe that my higher power is going to lead us back to connect." And at that time, the website I had was brand new. This was before Facebook. And so I think it was like 3.5 weeks later, I got an email into my website. And I was like, "Well, what is this?" And so I read it, and he asked for permission to write me, because he said he'd went into treatment. When I got his letter, I couldn't even talk. I was so astonished. He had been in active addiction 25 years. He'd been into treatment 13 times.
Wow.
And the longest period of time that he said he stayed in treatment was 3 weeks. So when I heard from him at 3.5 weeks, he'd already been there longer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the shortest period of time was less than 24 hours. Nigeria, that was in 2008. And he's still clean and
Amen.
Still writes me and tells me how he's doing.
Wow. Wow. And, you know, I always say, if we could just reach one, because if you just reach him and he just reached someone else, and it's just paying it forward. This is how we overcome, you know.
Yes, it is.
Everybody's so into large numbers. Just reach one person. Just talk to one person. Try to get one person on board. That one person will get another one person. Don't try to, you know, get the masses. You can try, but be effective. Have an impact. And the way you do that is if you just get one.
That is so true. And you can save a life.
Yeah. And that's why we're here. See, you know, everybody want to know, "I don't know why I was born. I don't know why I'm here." No. You are here for life, to save life. God gave us life that we may give others life. You get it? It's real plain and simple. And this is a dying world. Our assignment is to be kind, loving, towards each other, love one another, and love covers a multitude of sins. So if you're genuine about it, then obviously you will make a difference in someone's life. It's not all about the cars and the houses. Yeah, it's not that's nice, and I'm not saying don't have it, but your real purpose mm-hmm. in life is your neighbor. Now you can tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, how you doing? Are you all right?" You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right, Pam Rhea, I feel the Holy Ghost moving on me. So I better slow this up.
I've enjoyed this.
I better slow it up. But I thank you so much. Let us know where the next play stop going to be so people could come out and see you.
It's going to be in Winston-Salem at the Enterprise Conference Center in Winston-Salem on September 22nd, which is a Friday.
September 27th?
22nd.
22nd, okay. I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah.
So September 22nd in Winston-Salem, North Cackalacka. I had to do it.
It's a good thing I'm not from North Carolina. They get offended when you make fun of them.
I know. I had to do it.
That's all right. I'm not mad at you.
Y'all come on out and support and show your love. And we appreciate you, Miss Pam Rhea. And like I said, once a key player, always a key player. Please keep us in the loop of the things, the wonderful, great things that you're doing. And we'll be sure to share it with our audience.
I will have my word on that.
All right.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you.
You as well.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Amen. All right.